Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read some verses in the book of Acts. This month is missions emphasis, and I want to just help us to get our mind on this really important topic, because I want us to be praying about and looking at God's Word as it relates to this really important topic of reaching the world for Jesus. Amen. We're going to read in Acts chapter 1 a few verses, and Acts chapter 8, or Acts chapter 13, rather. Acts chapter 1, and this reads starting with verse number 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. And then in Acts 13, actually the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is mentioned 66 times in the book of Acts. This book of Acts is a Holy Ghost book. Amen. Acts 13, now verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. You know, when we start talking about missions, there's all kinds of things that come to mind. You think about all these people that visit the church, not only at missions conference time, but down, every few weeks or months, we'll have folks who are working in missions around the world who come and visit our services. The first thing that comes to your mind is probably, well, they're probably going to show a slideshow. We will need to give an offering. And we've pretty well got it down, what's going to happen. And he's going to tell him, and it's probably going to be long. So some folks make the terrible mistake of not coming when a missionary is going to be here. Please don't make that mistake. Because the book of Acts is a missionary book. And the day of Pentecost was a missionary event. The Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus, as I read to you from Acts chapter 1, had given to them the command, go to Jerusalem and wait. Stay there until you are endued with power from on high. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to have the power then to be witnesses unto me. You'll have what you need. You'll be equipped to do it. And these disciples, they were uneducated, unqualified. They didn't have what we would think was necessary. But once they were filled with the Spirit, they were spiritually qualified to do. As long as they were filled, as long as they were attentive, listening to the voice of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost directing them. And here in Acts chapter 13, it is the voice of the Spirit that speaks and sends them forth to do the work in various places, all those different missionary journeys that they took. But here's something that we have to take. We have to make this a very personal message, because when we think of missions, we think about, you know, Marvin French, and, you know, we've got a long list of people that we think about when we're thinking about missions. But tonight, I just want to take a minute and talk about you and me. I want to talk to you about your mission. That's right. Every one of us here in this meeting tonight, we are called of God, sent of God, and we have a mission from God. Amen. It's awfully quiet, but it's the truth. Actually, when Keith witnessed to that man on the job, he's stepping up to fulfill his mission, what the Lord has called him to do. When I was out in Oklahoma in the church there was a young lady in her mid-20s. Actually, I was her parents' pastor before she was even born. And now she's in her mid-20s, been raised up in that church, and graduated from high school, went to nursing school, has worked for several years in a hospital there in the Tulsa area as a registered nurse. But the Lord's been dealing with her about something more, about something else that he wanted her to do. And she realized, I've got a mission that God wants me to fulfill. So she went to her employers and said, I want to go on a nursing missionary trip, and I want to stay 6 months. If I do that, will I have a job when I get back? And they said, no, you won't. You won't have a job. She felt so strong that this was what God was telling her to do. She quit her job. Let me tell you, nurses make good money. They really do. They earn every dollar of it, but they make good money. She quit her job, and she is going to Togo, West Africa, for 6 months. She's going to be working in the Hospital of Hope there. It's actually Samaritan's Purse Hospital. It was built by Samaritan's Purse. She's going to be working there in Togo, West Africa, for 6 months. And she leaves this next Monday. And I said, write your name down, write your address down. Let me know what's going on, because we want to communicate with you, and I want to. I should have requested prayer for her tonight, but I won't forget to do that. Her name is Amelia Schaefer, a young girl in her mid-20s, single girl, that said, I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. And she's going to spend 6 months, maybe more, in Togo in a hospital. Now, when you think hospital, I mean, we've got a multi-million-dollar hospital here in London. Hospitals in Africa don't look like that. They don't look like that. They're rough. They're very rough. You go to a West African hospital, and it's a few rooms. It's very primitive. Not very much equipment. Then this one, I understand. You can go online and look at it. This Hospital of Hope in Togo that was built by Samaritan's Purse. It's pretty nice, especially for Africa. But when I would have never dreamed. I've known this family, and I've known that girl since she was born, and I never would have dreamed that God might put a desire in the heart of someone like that. But it was God, and she's going because she wants to fulfill the mission that God has given to her. And you have a mission. Every one of us here tonight, every believer has a mission from God. We all have a calling. We all have a go that has been given to every one of us. The gospel, there's no such thing as the gospel without the go. Amen? It's the go. It's the go forth, and it may be across the aisle on the job or across the fence in your neighborhood, or it may be into the community or wherever God has put you. But there's always this go, this effort to move forward and to share the gospel with people. I really have a firm conviction about this. If our mentality is missionaries go, we sit back and hear the great stories and we're inspired and we give them an offering and that's the end of our responsibility. Oh no. We all have a calling. We all have a mission. What's your mission? What is your mission? What is it that God is calling you to do. Well, God has a mission for you. And His mission, at the very center of His mission for you, are people. Lost people. Do you know any of them? Do you know people that are unsaved, away from God, don't know the Lord, lost in their sin? That's why Jesus came into the world. And that's the reason why that He has commissioned all of us to go forth. God so loved the world. That's the most well-known verse of Scripture, isn't it? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse, verse 17, said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's the message of the gospel. It isn't a message of condemnation. It is a message of hope. That out of your sin, you can have hope. And it's universal. It's worldwide. It crosses every language and ethnic barrier. It works everywhere. The gospel works everywhere. Amen. You know, there's kind of a movement among some very, very liberal church groups that it's wrong to go and to change the culture of other nations. And that we're arrogant, that we think that our way of living is better than others. And so there's this very liberal theology that says we need to leave people alone and they're okay in their culture and the way that they live. That's not the truth. That's not the gospel. He said, go into all the world. All of the world. Now, you know that if you discovered a cure for a disease in the United States of America, and it's working and it's curing that disease, do you know that you can take that same cure to Mexico? You can take it to Central America? You can take it to India or Africa or any nation of the world, into the jungles, into the deepest, darkest places where people are living? And if they have that disease, that cure will work. Well, we have a cure. We have a cure for the disease of sin and the hopelessness and the darkness that they are in. And we are to obey the call of God. I'm not suggesting that everybody quit your job and start, you know, planning to go to some foreign nation. I'm just saying, ask the Lord. Lord, direct me and help me to see what is my mission. What is the mission that you've given to me? Now, in the book of Acts, the outpouring of the Spirit here, that Jesus said, wait, tarry until you're endued with power from on high. He was telling them, this task of reaching the world is an impossible task if you do not have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. It's going to fail. You're not going to be able to succeed. But when the power of the Spirit comes into your life, when you are endued with power from on high, then you'll become witnesses. You'll become men and women who have the power and the ability to witness for God and to make a difference in the lives of people that are lost. Amen. Glory to God. So your witness can make a difference. Your witness can be a powerful thing as you're inspired and anointed of the Holy Ghost. You can accomplish something for the glory of God and see the lost saved. No, it's such a need. There's so many people that need the Lord. Right here in London, right here in Laurel County, right here within our reach. There's so many people. But we have to go. It's not that we have to hope that they show up at church. No, we have to be willing to go after them, to cross over some lines that we might not necessarily want to. Maybe go into neighborhoods. Maybe talk to people that you would never normally talk to. But yet there's people that are in darkness, people that are lost. Those are the ones that Jesus came to save. Amen. God is a missionary God. I know of churches that, well, we don't really support missionaries. We don't do that. We don't want that kind of an influence in our church. And I'm just like, what in the world are you talking about? What are you talking about? Have you forgotten about the commission of God's word? Have you forgotten about the entire book of Acts? God is a missionary God. Amen. And we need to be missionary focused. Abraham, I guess, was probably the first missionary in the Bible, called of God, get out of your country and go to the place that I'm going to tell you to go to. He left not knowing where he was going. He left, but God said, when you go, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Out of you, there's going to come a blessing. And I know that was a prophecy of concerning the Messiah that was going to come many centuries later down through the lineage of Moses. I understand that. But everywhere he went, he was sent of God and he was used of the Lord. So Abraham was a missionary. And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. Your neighborhood, I know I've said this probably dozens and dozens of times, but where you live, your community, your neighborhood, it ought to be a better place because you live there. Your job, your company, it ought to be a better place because you are there. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent the hope of the world. When you walk into that place, you have something to offer that no one else can offer to them because you know Jesus. Amen. Isaiah was a missionary. He heard the call, heard the voice of the Lord. He said, Isaiah chapter 6, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He responded to the voice of the call of God. Abraham was a missionary. Isaiah was a missionary. Jesus himself was a missionary. I guess you could say he was a cross-cultural missionary. We think of missionaries who leave an American culture and they go to places, strange ways of doing, strange ways of living. Can you imagine leaving heaven and coming into this earth? Can you imagine the culture of heaven and then coming into this world that was stained with the darkness of sin and rebellion? But he came so that men might be saved. So this is God's mission. When you become a Christian, once you're born again, it becomes your mission. Amen. It's your mission. It's your calling. So the Lord puts upon your heart. You need to be asking the Lord, Lord, what is it? What is my mission? What do you want me to do? How do you want to use me? Do you know when you start reaching out to a lot of sinners, things get messy quick? I'm telling you. People's lives are messed up in sin. Nothing pretty about it. I'm telling you, their lives are turned upside down. They've got so many problems. They've got so many complicated issues going on in their life. And the easiest thing to do is just to back off and say, I can't deal with this. This is too much. But they need you. You may be their only hope. You may be the only messenger that comes their way. You may be the only one that can plant the seed of the truth in their heart. Yeah, it gets messy. It gets difficult. That's the reason why some churches don't really want to grow, because they don't want to mess things up in the church. They don't want the church to get messed up, literally, physically. They don't want it to get messed up. You start bringing in a lot of people from the world that don't know anything about God, and you're going to have people doing crazy, wild things. My mom and her husband, they go to a little place, a little athletic place, I guess you'd call it. It's a center that you can go and walk around a trail like you have at First Baptist, a little walking place. And they go every morning. Well, they met a little lady down there and got to talking to her and invited her to church, and she got saved. She don't know anything about serving God. But she sits right up on the second seat beside my mom, and she doesn't know really how to do. And so my mom has been thoroughly embarrassed several times by her. And if you know my mom, she's quite the modest person. And because this lady brings her coffee and comes down and sits by my mom on the second seat. She doesn't know anything about it. Let me tell you, things can get a little out of hand when you get a bunch of sinners coming. Isn't it the truth? Let them come. Let them come. I've had people say to me, do you have a dress code? No, absolutely not. Whoever you are, whosoever will, we want you to come. We want you to come. We want you to hear the gospel. Don't worry about that. Just get here. Amen. And once you get saved, then the Lord will start working on you, and he'll make sure that you're modest. He'll make sure that you're appropriate. If your heart is open and sensitive to the voice of the Lord will help you and lead you along. I'm not really worried about that. I want people to come in from all walks of life, messed up, lives wrecked and ruined. That's the mission of God, and it's our mission. It should be our mission right here. Amen. You know that nothing that happened in the book of Acts, you read through the book of Acts, none of it would have happened if it had not been for the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was the turning point. The day of Pentecost is what changed all those commoners into disciples and apostles and preachers, anointed of God, and missionaries. It was the outpouring of the Spirit. It was a mission. The day of Pentecost was a missionary event set up by God, by the Spirit of God. At least 16 nationalities had gathered into Jerusalem. And it was noised abroad all over Jerusalem what was happening. This outpouring of the Spirit. And the people were drawn to that. And they came to that. And they left that experience changed, taking this message back to all of their different places where they lived, all the different nations and the languages and the groups, the ethnic groups that were there. They all took the message of the gospel back with them. It was a big missionary event. Peter stood up that day and preached, anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he preached that message. 3,000 souls responded. That just don't happen. That don't happen. That was a Holy Ghost missionary event where the Lord reached and touch the hearts of all those thousands of people. Nothing that happened in the book of Acts. The miracles. The thousands of converts. The churches that were born. The explosive growth of the church. All throughout the known world. None of it would have happened if it had not been for the day of Pentecost experience. Amen. There was a power. There was a dynamic motivation that was put in the hearts of those that were there that day that were filled with the Spirit, and they were changed and they were empowered, and even to the point that they would suffer for the gospel's sake. Many of them were even martyred for the gospel's sake. The power of the Spirit of God gave to them the ability to do the mission that we've been called. We've got a mission around here, and I think that many times we prefer the comfort of the pew. Amen. We prefer even being entertained. We prefer it when all the while we need to be a people who listen to the voice of the Spirit and we seek the Lord to be filled with the Spirit. Why do we want the young and the teens and every age group in the church to be filled with the Spirit? Because we know that if they're filled with the Spirit, they're going to have the quality and the ability to do something about the lost. They won't be able to. None of us will be able to, except by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It was the power of the Spirit that's poured out that started this amazing move in the book of Acts. It gave to those early disciples a mission. Up to that point, they were fishermen. They were commoners. They really, you know, their life was very ordinary. But there's something powerful and dynamic about the work of the Spirit of God. It starts something new in your heart. It causes you to be able to do the mission and fulfill the mission. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have to be willing to follow him even to the ends of the earth, if that's what he says. Now, he may not, but he might. He might call your children. Amen. I know that Paul and Sherry Schaefer probably never thought that their little girl was going to wind up in Togo, West Africa. I'm quite sure they didn't. I didn't get to talk to them about it. I talked to her after I heard about it. But, I mean, Paul just works every day at UPS. And she homeschooled those kids. And I'm sure that In their mind, it was they're going to grow up, they're going to have a job, they're going to have a career, they're going to get married, and I'm going to have grandkids, and everything is going to go the way that I plan. And they didn't include Togo. They didn't include a hospital in a West African third world country. They had no idea that that could happen. But if you're going to follow God, you can't imagine where it might lead you. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to go. Amen. To do whatever it is. Why? Because the masses are lost. Mark Zuckerberg has been testifying in front of United States Senate panel about safety and security for Facebook. In his testimony, he said, there are 2 billion people in the world now that are on Facebook. There's 7 billion people in the world. Facebook has reached 7 billion people. What about us? What about the gospel of Jesus Christ? They're lost. That's the condition. You have to be reminded. You have to think about the fact that this world is desperately lost. They're desperately lost. All around us, they're lost. Right here in our own community, there are people, young people, children that are growing up in homes and they don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about the Bible. They have not been exposed to spiritual things at all. They're our mission. Your mission. They're my mission. They're our calling. And it may be right here locally, or it might be other places that God may call you. But wherever he calls you, it will be because of the lost condition of mankind. And there's no hope for them. Ephesians chapter 2 describes the lost world like this. They are without Christ. They are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They are strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. No hope. That's the masses of people that are all around us and everywhere that we go and all around the world. They have no hope. None. Unless we fulfill our mission. You say, well, I love the gospel. Well, the first 2 letters of the gospel is go. There's no gospel without a go. Amen. You have to be willing to go wherever he sends you, whatever he asks you to do. Amen. Amen. Jesus said the whole world. The whole world. Why? Why? Why the whole world? Because the whole world has the same condition. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what culture they live in. It doesn't matter anything about their religious ideas or non-religious ideas. It makes no difference. They all have the same condition, and that is that they are lost and they are without hope. And that's why we have to go, or we have to help go. We have to be involved in the work of missions all around the world. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That is the Pentecostal experience. The experience of Pentecost being poured out upon the church was to empower us so that we could do the work of proclaiming the gospel in an effective way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus said the whole world. So it might be here in London, it might be in Laurel County, it might be in Kentucky, it might be in some other place around this nation. There are very, very dark places right here in our nation. Metropolitan areas in America where there isn't much gospel being declared. And not many people willing to go to those places because it's rough, it's dangerous. Oh, the need is so great. The need is so great. Amen. So it all begins with a Pentecostal outpouring. That's where it begins. There is no missions. There is no evangelism. There is no reaching the lost. No ability to do it. We can't convince men of their sinfulness, and we can't help them to see that there's hope in Jesus without the outpouring of the Spirit in our life. That's where it all starts. That's why as a Pentecostal church, we need to encourage and we need to be filled, every one of us. And we need to encourage the children and the young people and everyone to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled up with the Holy Ghost so that we can be equipped and empowered to do what we have been called to do. So I wanted you to think about your mission, and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I want you to direct my steps and give me power to do what I cannot do except by your Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful examples in the book of Acts that remind us again and again and again that those early apostles were directed of the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. Lord, it was the work of the Holy Ghost that sent them out from Antioch. It was the Spirit of God that directed them where to go and who to speak to and who not to speak to. Lord, it was your Spirit that was working, that was anointing them to preach in palaces and in prisons and wherever, Lord, that you placed them. Lord, it was your Holy Ghost power that equipped them to do the task. And I know, Lord, that today, without your Spirit, we're powerless. Without your Spirit, Lord, we cannot be what you want us to be. And I pray, Lord, that you'll stir up in our hearts, every one of us, Lord, here tonight, so that we can understand what our personal mission is. Hallelujah.